The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kids series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And we are here with one of our favorite writer, artist, people, Tony Fleeks. Tony, welcome.
Woo-hoo. Hey, everybody. Woo-hoo. Hey, Pete. Hey, Alex.
Oh, my gosh. Welcome. We're so excited to chat with you here live-esque. Live-esque, I guess.
Live to tape?
Live to tape. That's the actual way you say it. Yeah, I guess I should figure that out. Here at Baltimore Comic Con, we're here on day two. Lots of stuff we want to talk to you about. I did want to start off, though. I don't know if you're allowed to respond to this, but Stray Dogs, Dog Days.
Yes.
Love that book.
Thank you.
There was a list that came out recently of top-selling Image comic books,
yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised to see that book at number 9. I think it was between Nocterra and MOM, Mother of Madness,
yeah.
Amelia Clark's book. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, yeah. I feel like if it wasn't for Todd, we would have cracked the top 5. He had those early spots staked out with all those spawns where he did the, you know, buy 500 copies, yeah. Get a free sketch shirt. You know, like, but yeah, we did real good on that book. A lot of it obviously was we did just a shit ton of retailer variant covers. Mm-hmm. And so when they get those, they have to order, I think it's like 500. So, you know, you get like 100 of those, you're already sitting at like 50,000. Mm-hmm. So that was crazy. That was a good time. I bought a house.
Off of that book?
Yeah. Well, off of Stray Dogs. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, I didn't pay it off. But
can you buy things with comics? Like you turn in comics instead of money? Because
that's
going to be big for me.
I wish I could hand in some comps.
So, wait, let's stay on this because I do want to talk about other things. But how, we love Stray Dogs. That clearly increased in interest in a big way over the course of the issues. So is that how it works? Basically, like you look at the orders as they increase over the issues of Stray Dogs, and then when it comes time for Dog Days, you're able to convince the retailers to order a ton more of them?
No, it didn't take any convincing. It was basically, with Stray Dogs, what happened was it started out at a good number, but there was good word of mouth, and then around issue 4, we had optioned it to Paramount before the book even, like 6 months before it even came out. Basically, we had like a first issue done, and I gave it to my manager, and they just took it out and sold it. And so it was in the trades, but like nobody knew what Stray Dogs was 6 months before Stray Dogs. So then around issue 4, speculators start to find out like, oh, this is could be a thing. And so then they start to jump on. And then we had done like, I think like 9 variants for the first issue, which is like crazy.
Yeah.
But it's about average for a Image first issue with the retailer variant situation. Like, I think we did about that for Local Man, too. And then we started going into reprints. Issues started selling out. Like, number 1 sold out the first day, which is pretty common-ish. Mm-hmm. You know, just because retailers taking a shot on a unknown first issue, they order conservatively. And then word of mouth was so good that they were just like, oh, it's out. We gotta do more. And I had done a lot to sort of, like, pre-sell that book. Like, I went to Comics Pro, I handed out preview copies to retailers, I called people, I mailed stuff out. Like, I do a lot as far as, like, promotion goes for my creator-owned stuff. So, when issue 4 came out, the news about the speculation or the option sort of creeped into like speculator markets, and so that started to go crazy. So then we're reprinting and reprinting, and it's those horror movie covers. So it just added up, you know. There was one day we did this like final printings thing where it's like we did all five issues, the last printings of them. Like the first issue went into five printings, and then the fifth issue sold out, and so we did a second printing of the fifth issue, and we sold like 167,000 of just those on that day.
I'd also just like to point out, we loved it, but we were also like scarred for life.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's such a great idea, and you cash in. Like, it's such a cool,
thank you,
like well executed idea, and it's easy to get on board and understand. And I think that really translated.
It's definitely the best idea I will probably ever have. And so now it's just a matter of like taking all my other ideas and going like, all right, well, let's just make these as good as possible. Because I'm not going to have like serial killer who kidnaps people's dogs idea again right away, you know, at least not right away. It was really something where I had the idea and I started talking about it and I started telling my friends about it, and everybody was like, oh shit. And I was like, yeah, I guess that is cool, right? And so then it was just a matter of like finding Trish and sort of putting the team together and putting the book together. And but I was definitely more motivated to get that one out than anything. Like, I have a list of, you know, like ideas and create our own stuff, but that was the one when I had the idea, I was like, I gotta get going on this soon, because what if somebody else thinks of,
yeah, someone else does it,
serial killer.
And before we move on, how did you feel about the, I think it was Jamie Foxx, Will Ferrell movie Strays that came out? Is that annoying?
I just wish it had done better.
Okay.
You know, because I was like, well, maybe, you know, maybe there will be a run on, you know, R-rated dog movies, you know. if it had been a huge, if it was like Ted,
yeah,
then they'd be like, does anybody have anything else with dogs that's R-rated? And I would just be like, I do.
Yeah,
you know? But yeah, I didn't mind it that much. I do mind, this is my first Comic-Con after that movie came out, so I do now have to field questions of just like, is this that? It's not.
It's better. It's much better. Definitely check it out. Here's another one that we've been loving. You've been doing this with Tim Seeley, is Local Man, which is a great riff on 90s, early 2000s comics. We've been talking about it nonstop on the show, but I did want to ask you in particular about Local Man Gold. I don't know, is it okay to get into spoilers?
Yeah, for
a little
sure.
Bit?
I figure if it's been out for a couple weeks, if somebody's listening to an interview with me at Baltimore Comic Con at this point, they probably read Local Man Gold. And if not, you know, it's sort of unspoilable.
So my big question is, how did you pull that off? Because it is a mashup of a wild range of Image Comics characters, including the one that blew my lid off that I couldn't believe you did, was you got Joan from Love Everlasting to show up there.
Well, between Tim and I, we know pretty much everybody in comics just from having, you know, been around for as long as we have. You know, Tim's worked at DC and Marvel, and I pretty much drew My Little Pony only for 10 years, but I'm very charming. And so, you know, you get around me at a convention and you're like, I like this guy. So I know, you know, like I know pretty much everybody. But Tim worked with Tom King on Grayson. Mm. And so they're tight. They talk all the time. And he was like, hey, we're doing this crossover thing. Could we use Joan? And I think Tom King was just like, that's weird. Yeah, okay. You know? And we had this idea about like doing all these characters, sort of doing an Image United / Deathmate / you know, whatever Image crossover. And the idea was I'd draw the main characters, the like our Local Man characters in real life, and then Tim would draw all the crossover characters and sort of do his version of their styles. So he draws Fire Breather like Andy Kuhn, and he draws Joan like Elsa Chartier. And, like, he just does, you know, his best Mark Silvestri on Stryker. And, you know, like, Boof, he's trying to draw, like, John Cleary, who was trying to draw, like, Todd McFarlane. So it's like a it's like a copy of a copy.
So what's next for that book? Because you've gone through so many amazing 90s cliches and really tweaked them and plumbed into them and dug into them in a really emotional, interesting way.
Thank you.
So what's coming up? What's next in the book?
Well, so, spoilers still. But at the end of the first arc, we sort of have this big reveal about Jack's ex-girlfriend, Inga, who he left. When he left the small town, he left her behind. And she's sort of been like a character in the story, but she's going to be a much bigger character now. And so for the second arc, every issue of Local Man is a flip book where on the one side, I draw the modern-day adventures of this guy, Jack Zaver, formerly the superhero Crossjack, in the Midwest, living with his mom and dad, just being hated by everyone around him. and him just trying to figure out like what he's going to do with his life now that he's not a superhero. It's sort of like it's definitely like a midlife crisis book for both Tim and I. Like both of like Tim sort of bounced back a little more, but both of us sort of like went through divorces and we're just sort of like, let's do something about like nostalgia and about this shit that we're going through and just like all this stuff, and then make it into like a palatable, you know, like the sort of thing people would want to read, where you can sort of like sneak feed them a book about like loss or grief or whatever, yeah. You know.
Now, go ahead. Something that you're kind of talking about, and I wanted to circle back to, is Tim Seeley is great. Like, a really fun person. Like,
first question, Tim Seeley, great.
yeah, great.
Can we talk a little bit about like working with him and the, yes. the kind of fun of that, or like what he brings to a project that
no,
you
it's
were surprised
awesome.
About?
It's because like I have different kind of collaborations, like the. Like when I do work for hire stuff, that's sort of more separated. You just sort of work through the editor or whatever, and so I'm not really working with the writer or anybody else on the team that much. On Stray Dogs, I'm super involved the whole time. You know, like it's like I do thumbnails, and then I work with the person who does tight layouts or backgrounds, and I work with Trish, and like I'm always involved in that book. And the follow-up book we're doing to that, I'm always involved in that, so just, like, constantly involved. And Local Man is similar, except Tim is the exact same as me, where he's also always involved and always in there. And so, like, it's a very... It's sort of like... you know when you do... This is not about Stray Dogs at all. I'll just say that. But, you know, when you do projects in school and you're the last one working on the science fair project and everybody else went home and it's like 3 a.m. and you're just like, hey, this thing's due tomorrow. Is anybody, nobody else cares? You know, it's going to go on my permanent record. Tim and I are both that guy. And so I'll put stuff up on the Dropbox late at night, and then I'll wake up in the morning and he'll have already attacked it and done his part of it, you know. And so we both write it and we both draw it. And so we're both sort of like, super involved in it the whole time, and so it's super, like it's a great collaboration because I think both of us do something that the other one doesn't do, and so it sort of makes for this sort of full meal of a comic. I mean, every issue of it too is like long, you know, like yeah. I don't think there's been one that's under 22 pages on my side, and then there's always like another 4 to 6 pages on his side, you know, so it's all it's very collaborative. We're always in there. Every page of it, we both write. And then, you know, even on the pages where I draw or he draw, like the other one, sometimes we'll just go in and like fuck with something, you know. So it's like very, it's like a great collaboration.
Yeah. And I'll just add, I mean, this is tying into a bunch of the stuff we've been talking about, but the thing that I really love about it is it could be a joke premise. And
yes.
certainly there's jokes in it.
Yes.
But you guys are giving it not just this emotional grounding, but this overall story arc that I felt like, oh, okay, this is going to be a miniseries, I get it, and then it kept going, but it makes sense that it keeps going
right.
at the same time.
Well, that definitely comes from, like, the way that people pitch it, or, like, even when I go in my comic shop and buy it, like, people think that the premise of it is a gag because of how those books are sort of, like, looked at now, you know, 30 years later. Like, people are just like, oh, that's when comics sucked or whatever. But Tim and I were kids then, and to us, like, that's basically, like, my Claremont X-Men or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I read fucking Todd Knock and Eric Stevenson's New Men and was just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I want to read these stories forever. I love these superheroes, you know? And so it's basically just us taking them seriously the same way people take Spider-Man seriously or take, you know, obviously we're not using New Men. We're not allowed to use them. We have some of them, but we're not allowed to use the whole team. But it's basically like, let's make our character like that. Let's do our version that fits into that world and take it seriously. And so I think that is what surprises people about it, is they see the covers and they're just like, oh, I remember that, fun. And then they open it up and they're just like, oh, man, this is, this guy's really going through it.
This is sad.
Yeah.
He's having a sad time.
He's having a hard time.
Yeah. The book is great. You have coming up Army of Darkness Forever
yes.
as well, right? What can you tell us about that?
So I was just talking to the editor for that. He's down here. It's me. It's Justin Greenwood. It's Brad Simpson, who colors Local Man and Stray Dogs. So it's beautifully colored, like all my stuff. It's the direct sequel to the director's cut of Army of Darkness, which is, if you've seen Army of Darkness on DVD, there's this ending where... Ash is supposed to take this potion and wake up 600 years in the future from medieval times, back in his own time, and he takes one drop too many, and he wakes up, like, basically after the end of the world. So, like, the world's been destroyed, it's been bombed out, and he's like, oh, I slept too long. And the plan was, you know, like, Evil Dead 2, at the end, he goes back to medieval times, Army of Darkness, at the end, he wakes up 100 years in the future, and then the next one was going to be, like, Ash and the techno army of darkness versus the end of time or whatever, you know, versus the apocalypse. So we're doing that. Like, I was talking to Nick Barucci about, like, he loves Stray Dogs, and he was very supportive of that book. And he was like, hey, do you have any ideas for Army of Darkness? And I said, well, has anybody ever done just the sequel to that director's cut? And then they were like, well, we got to look into it, because they've done that book for 20 years.
Right.
And they were like, no, nobody ever has even approached it. And I was like, well, that is crazy. It's like the only thing I'd want to do.
Yeah.
So it's basically a direct sequel to that. But also, after, I don't want to explain how, but after you read the first issue, you're like, oh, it's also a direct sequel to the original ending. And it, so it's like basically just, it fits right in your, I think of it as, I want people to buy it in issues, of course. But eventually there will be a hardcover, and you can sit it on your shelf next to the Blu-ray for Army of Darkness and before whatever Ash vs. Evil Dead or the remakes or whatever. Like, it'll fit right in, which is a tough trick to pull off, because Dynamite only has the license for Army of Darkness. Like, the licenses for all those movies are sort of split to the winds, scattered in a million different places. So we can only do stuff that's in Army of Darkness, but there's this flashback at the beginning of Army of Darkness to Evil Dead 2. And we can use that as well. It got, like, grandfathered in. So we can have that stuff as well. It's very, it's like a fun math problem to play with.
Nice.
But it's really fun. Justin is done drawing issue 4. I just turned in the script for 5. And we're hoping it's going to be a 12 issue, like, full story, like, beginning, middle, and end. And you'll get to the end of it, and you'll just be like, yeah, it is. Fits right in. Love it.
Now, when you're writing something like this, where you have Bruce Campbell's iconic voice in your head, does that make it easier or harder for you?
It kind of makes it easier, but it's sort of like, I feel like the one trap that I find myself trying not to fall into is, don't write Bruce Campbell, write Ash. Because Bruce Campbell is sharp and, like, very witty. And, like, always knows what's going on. He's, like, the smartest guy in the room. And Ash is sort of a dipshit, you know? Like, he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, but he's not. And so, like, that's important to sort of work into it. Like, you want that sort of, like, false bravado. It makes it easier just having so much Ash out there. Like, obviously you're not allowed to reference all the other movies, but I have them all in my head as just, like, here's how this guy is, you know? So, yeah.
Cool. And before we let you go, anything else you want to plug? Where should people check you out online these days?
I'm always on social media. I'm on X.com.
The coolest site.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
So
a lot of people
cool.
love it. Love how they did Ukraine. Super cool of them. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok now. I post TikToks.
Okay.
Like the kids do.
Dances
I'm out there
stuff?
Dancing.
Nice.
No, I just like that you can just make videos on your phone. I was like, this is crazy. I made a trailer for Stray Dogs. Like in like iMovie before that book came out. It took me for like a night and a half. I was just like, you know, in there tweaking stuff. And then on TikTok, I can just like put shit together in 20 minutes and throw it out there. So I'm on TikTok. TonyFleece.com. You can buy original art. And there's like a list of my upcoming conventions and stuff like that. Keep ordering Local Man. The trade comes out in September. Which is now.
Yep.
Yeah. And then issue 6 comes out in October. Local Man Gold's in stores right now. So that book is like, there's more Local Man than you know what to do with coming out right now. And then Army of Darkness Forever goes on FOC very soon. And we want big numbers on that because that way I can go all the way to 12 and tell the whole story. And then me and Trish Forstner and the whole Stray Dogs team are working on a follow-up to Stray Dogs.
Ooh.
The name of it, I will not tell you right now because it's not announced yet, but it's going to be about cats, and it'll probably come out early next year, probably like first quarter of next year if I had to guess.
Cool. Excellent. Fingers crossed Will Ferrell and Jamie Foxx don't do a cats movie before that. We'll see what happens.
They're already working on it, I'm sure. Okay. Same name.
Damn it.
Same color scheme, mm-hmm. just to really confuse people. That'll be great.
Yeah, Tony, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Thanks for the support.
And if you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about comics. Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok or Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the comic book shop. Crap, baby.